Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Slayer Talk. Let me turn my speakers down so it doesn't echo. I'm here again today with Michael Chan, esteemed Star Trek alumni and a good friend of everything horror. How are you doing, Michael?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm feeling great. Glad to be here. But Alex, are you sure you're the real Alex and not a doppelganger? Because you just called our show Slayer Talk, and we're not Slayer Talk. Only the doppelganger Alex would deny it.
Did I actually do that? Oh my god.
We okay, are this the Hellbound podcast, and we are keeping this error because it's hilarious.
Yeah, that's for later when we record. Sorry about that.
No need to apologize, doppelganger Alex. Where's the real one, huh?
He is in another room editing or rendering or something for me. I wish I could split myself into kind of clones, because I need it for the amount of work I've got on at the moment. So
yeah, you've been like really busy lately, man. This is awesome.
It's good. And I've got a new project called Set Up and Shoot with a creative friend of mine. That's going to be a documented production diary based thing, up until the point where we shoot short films, and then we're going to release those and put them to festivals. So it's kind of helped me focus my creative energy.
Nice.
More so than last year or the year before. So yeah, looking forward to that. It's going to be busy, but yeah, another thing.
Meanwhile, I'm looking forward to the release of The Love Club on the Women's Network, or W Network, this coming Friday, February 10th. I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but it's like a four-movie series about four best friends who form something called The Love Club after their love lives don't go so well. So their club kind of helps them to get closer with each other while also, you know, dealing with each of their individual love lives. I'm in the fourth movie, so it's every Friday. So one movie comes out every Friday starting on February 10th, and then the next one's 17th, and then February 24th. And then the movie I'm in is on March 3rd.
That's awesome. Has it got its own name, or is it movie four? Or
It's like is there a name of its own, you mean?
Yeah,
it's The Love Club Tara Story.
Oh, awesome. Well, congrats on that, Mike. You must be pretty stoked.
I am. Oh, I just went on IMDb just to check if they've changed the name, and they're just calling it The Love Club Tara. It took out Tara's story. So anyways, it's Tara.
Okay, brilliant.
Regardless, it's about that best friend. But I digress. I mean, this is not a podcast about romantic comedies. unless you find romantic comedies terrifying.
One of the horror highlights I really want to kind of talk about is The Last of Us. And I'm not going to say too much about episode three, but it's predominantly about two gay male characters. And it's an absolute marvel of an episode of any TV show. And I was in tears watching it. I think Nick Offerman and, let me find the other actor's name, Murray Bartlett, they just absolutely hit a home run. That's going to win, should have won awards for a single episode of a show. I think it was a work of art, and just brilliantly performed. Just about the relationship. Don't have to think about anything else. It's just well acted, extremely well shot, well written. Brilliant piece of TV.
Yeah. So I have played the video game, The Last of Us. I actually got the game when it first came out on PlayStation, and I never finished it. The first time I played it, I think I made it about 2 hours in, and then I just, life, you know, got in the way, and then I stopped playing, and then I've restarted it twice. And let me tell you, all three times I've played this game, I've cried within the first 10 minutes. I was crying. But here's the thing, Now the game made me cry three times. This show has now made me cry as well. So this is one of those very emotional stories and emotional series, and it's incredible that a game could do that, and then a game a series based on a game can do that. Like it's amazing. I will say, it's not really a spoiler, but the story in episode three is not really in the game. It's like a fleshed out ex like they fleshed out a part of the game. Now, for anybody who's like, this wasn't in the game at all, you shouldn't have done that. BS.
It's the opposite.
BS.
You should want
It's
more,
actually in
like,
the game. Like, not the whole story, not the whole story that they show in episode three. They fleshed out a part of the game. But the gay characters exist. And if you take the time to explore the game, you will actually find all the parts that kind of piece together the relationship between the two characters. Not again, not to the extent that the show did it, but there are bits and pieces here that make it clear that they are a couple and that they are gay. And if anyone out there still doesn't believe me or whatever, go look up interviews with the people who made the game. They say explicitly those characters are gay. So anyone trying to argue that this is like some woke agenda thing that they just shoved into a TV show,
It's
no,
not.
this is part of
It's
the
not.
game. And if
I'm.
you love The Last of Us, man, you and then now turn on the TV show because of this, the problem is you.
I'm of the feeling where I don't like the rhetoric from any, like, real aggressive rhetoric from any opinion, but when it comes to woke culture, I'm not a huge fan of like certain approaches to it, but this was just so like just perfect, like a perfect relationship story. I think it was just nailed it. Like, I've never cried consistently through something like this, and the way they pace it out, that's just a marvel. You know, the different, I don't want to, I'm not going to talk about the structure too much, but the way they pace it out in different moments is just absolutely brilliant. And if I could ever, anyone who's a writer or a filmmaker or a director could would want to create something like this. I think it's just brilliant. Just absolutely brilliant. Nick Offman, just, oh my God, they're both just a marvel, a real marvel.
Yeah,
Like the
this
first
episode
episode
needs
for
to
me
be.
was the first episode of the show for me was the only one. It was huge. It was epic, but it was so close to the opening of the game. It was very, very similar. But then as soon as it creeps past that and then got into this third episode, I was like, wow, this show's doing this. Amazing. Just telling a great story. And it's not one of those things where it's like, oh, we're doing it for this sake or because they're gay. They're not doing that at all. It's just an amazing story about two people. And the way they tie it in with the other characters in the show in terms of how they connect in terms of their friendship or hatred or dislike or whatever is brilliant, and more power to them. And Nick Offman's, or you know, he's a brilliant actor. They both are. Absolutely
Like
loved it.
this episode needs to be taught in film schools,
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
universities and colleges. Really, it needs to be part of the curriculum because it's a master class in every part of production, screenwriting, editing,
Yeah.
directing, acting, just everything was just perfect.
Yeah.
And this is literally the epitome of serialized television. Like I don't think
Yeah.
I can ever I say there's anything I've ever watched that is this good.
What the last time I had a reaction to TV like this, there was an episode. I don't think the whole episode was one shot, but there was an episode with of the first season of True Detective with Matthew McConaughey when he goes to this house, and there's a huge scene with it's handheld. It's technically a marvel, and it like just really stood out to me. The whole first season stood out to me anyway, but this, I saw so much of my own relationship in the two of them, and I don't want to get too emotional about it, but it was like made me kind of refocus in many ways. And it will, yeah, if you watch it with your partner, you can't help but feel even more connected with your partner, I think. It's just a work, real work of art, a work of art, a true work of art. Even if the next episode's terrible, which I doubt, this really just stand outstanding, completely outstanding.
Oh yeah, it absolutely is. I don't even think this show itself can beat this episode. So like, I don't have the expectation that they will. So I'm gonna lower my expectations back down a little. Just, but yeah, this blew me away. Like I didn't see it coming, and it just, wow.
Do you know what
Wow, guys,
the
watch
knock-on
Last of Us.
effect, the knock-on effect, which is kind of disappointing. It's not disappointing because the show is great. Is when are we going to get the next really great Naughty Dog game? That's probably the story team. You know, the story team is just focused on this now, surely.
It's fine, man. It's fine.
Yeah, I'll wait 5 years for that.
I'm making games are hard. I mean,
Yeah. Oh my
look at
God, to that
Cyberpunk,
standard.
right? Like that
Yeah.
game was supposed to be a massive success for that company, and then it just flopped. I
Yeah.
mean, now with a lot of updates and DLCs, it's improved. But anyways, so yeah, I don't expect Naughty Dog to come out with another game like Last of Us, but like in terms of how good it is. But I mean, you never know, right? Maybe they'll come up with a flop that day that patch until it's good.
Yeah,
Yeah,
maybe. But
just
yeah,
this kind of stuff
Marvel.
is hard, right?
Yeah.
Like you never know
Yeah. I'd
until it's
rather
out
wait
there.
longer for a quality product. I'd always wait
Oh yeah,
longer.
no, I'm willing to wait. I'm willing to wait.
Yeah.
As long like for something really, really good to come out. Let's go from the absolute best of the best to like
Birdemic 3.
something not Birdemic 3. I want to talk about a movie that I watched on Tubi for free, called Demon Island. So I had friends over, and I just we had watched Birdemic 2. I think I told you about this. And then after that, we're like, let's just like we still have time. Let's just randomly choose something on Tubi, and we chose this. I was interested because it stars Nicholas Brendon, who
Oh
is
yeah.
Xander from Buffy, so he made the transition to film. It also has Jamie Presley, who is Tina in the Dead or Alive movie, you know, the game, the movie adaptation of the video game, playing a character, by the way, called Tina as well in this film. And then this is huge, Garrett Wang.
Oh wow, from
Yep,
Voyager.
Harry Kim from Star Trek Voyager. So I was like, okay, all right. So you have all these people, and they're in this movie about a bunch of people who go to an island, and yeah, I'm just gonna a group of teens trapped on an island and are haunted by a demon hidden inside a piñata. That's what it says on IMDb. This movie also has other names, for example, Survival Island, or Pinata Survival Island. So yeah, and the teens are actually on the island for like a Cinco de Mayo treasure hunt thing. Like they're there, and then they split up in pairs to go like hunt for stuff, underwear, and try to win. And things go absolutely sideways. I don't want to give away too much, even though I'm pretty sure none of you will watch this travesty of a film. But here's the thing. So basically, like bad stuff is trapped, or sorry, placed inside a piñata, right? In the past,
Right.
the piñata is actually just a clay doll, a massive, like a giant clay doll or idol. It looks nothing like a piñata. The only way that it relates to a piñata is you put something in it, and if you break it, the stuff that's inside it comes out. That's it. Other than that, this thing's not a piñata. If any normal, sane human being sees this thing, they would never think it's a piñata. Yet, all the characters, all these teenagers in modern time, this movie is from 2002. So back in 2002, these teenagers who find this clay thing immediately go, "It's a piñata." How? How? That's not a piñata. That is a freaking idol from a tribe. Yeah. It was so, anyways. So just from that alone, it's already pretty. Even at the beginning of the film, you already know it's going to be
Oh
bad.
my
Because they're trying to
God.
force you to believe that this clay doll is a piñata. And what's even worse, there's actual piñatas, like piñatas that you can buy at a store all over the island. So now you can have them side by side and you can see what a piñata looks like and what this thing looks like. And you go, how do these kids think it's a piñata? Seriously.
Whenever we talk about these films, Michael, that you bring up, there is a moment where I think, is he making this up? There's always a moment of doubt like that. Then I think, no, he dislikes it so much. It's not. It is real. Oh my God!
Here, let me just read this just to make
Please
it easier.
do. Please
Group
do.
of college students sail to a remote island for an annual Cinco de Mayo treasure hunt. There, every fraternity boy is handcuffed to a random sorority girl. Each couple is instructed to collect as many pairs of strewn underwear on the island as possible. The couple that collects the most underwear and presents them to judges Monica and Paul, Garrett Wang's one of the judges, will receive $20,000. The groups consist of Jake and Julie, Doug and Carmen, Bob and Lisa, Larry and Connie, and Kyle and Tina. As the hunt starts, the pairs eagerly retrieve underwear, apart from Kyle and Tina, who have just broken up with each other. Bob and Lisa find a piñata, accidentally bringing the object to life. It proceeds to beat Bob to death with a branch while Lisa runs away, and it continues. So yes, this thing does come to life.
They know they have to collect underwear.
Yeah, you have to
Oh
collect underwear.
God.
That
It
is,
seems like a
I
first
know.
draft
The
from
whole
the
thing
writer.
is just a disaster from beginning. It's poorly acted, poorly directed, poorly produced, poorly shot. All the CGI effects are so cheese, it's ridiculous. As a follow-up to watching Birdemic, though, I will say it is better than Birdemic because it's actually coherent.
Oh my God.
And they're not using clip art for their monster,
Oh my
but
God, yeah.
yeah, I think I'm gonna end it there. This movie gets a 1 out of 10 for me. The one,
What time of
I'm
night
just
did you
gonna
watch
say
this?
the one is for Garrett Wang. That's it. He's the best actor in this film.
Did
He
you watch
was
this
pretty
late at
consistent.
night?
Yes and no. I mean,
Oh my God.
around 10.
Oh, that's so bad. Because
And we had
normally
no alcohol. We have no alcohol, so that makes it. We were completely lucid and sober while watching this, and it still felt like we were on drugs.
it sounds like an acid trip.
It is. So, guys, don't watch it, but do watch it. Do watch it because I want you to be subjected to what my friends and I were subjected to. And also, I think it's one of those movies that's so bad that it's good. And that it's worth seeing just to have something to talk about.
Yeah.
But if you don't want to waste your time, you want to watch good movies, do not watch Demon Island slash Piñata Survival Island, whatever it wants to call itself. I don't know why it has so many names. Just don't. Don't. Unless you're a big Buffy fan and you love Xander for some reason. I don't. I don't like Xander, but
Was
whatever.
he phoning it in?
Most of them were trying, kind of. I think they knew this is a cheeseball movie. They tried. I mean, he was Xander-ish. I don't know. Like, when you're given a script like this, what can you even do? Like, nobody's gonna give you an Oscar-worthy performance. But I mean, you can't. I think if you just absolutely do not care and just do a horrible job, that doesn't work either. So there has to
Yeah.
be some level of seriousness. I'm pretty sure they had a lot of fun, like the actors. I'm sure it was a fun shoot. God, I hope it was, because if it wasn't, this sucks.
The paycheck couldn't have been that high because they when they read the script, there's no way you read the script going, yeah, great, I'll sign up for this. It just sounds like a complete disaster.
Holy crap. Sorry, I'm just reading the reception section on IMDb. Bruce Eder, of All Movie, praised the films, evoking of numerous horror films from past decades, and said the plot is clever, turning logic on its head in grisly fashion and twisting around some of the conventions of the modern horror genre. Additionally, praising the inventive deaths, nutty lightheartedness, and set design. He concluded, Piñata Survival Island is not a great movie, just a better, cleverer movie than one would expect from this genre at this late date, and also a great deal of fun.
Wow. And what reputable news source does that writer work for?
All movie. I mean, I guess it's fun-ish.
God, so
Guys,
bad.
I'm serious. It is so bad it's good. I will say that. Like, it's not so bad it's bad. It's so bad it's good. Just if you're looking for quality, this is not it. If you are literally having a cheesy crap movie, horror movie night, then yes. And it since it's on Tubi, you don't have to really pay for it, right? Just download Tubi, watch. And I'll say this, the ads helped. Having advertisements really helped because we needed breaks.
Yeah.
We needed breaks.
Have to dilute that now with we
Please.
Vic and I have been doing this thing with Alphabet Cinema where we both pick a film from each letter of the alphabet and then we progress through until we get to the end and then we'll start the process again. And two horror films that came up for me for my C and D, we watched The Cube or Cube and a new Netflix film called Day Shift. I think you briefly talked about it a few months ago.
Yeah, I loved it.
But I absolutely love Day Shift because of the world building, performances, effects, the I think you highlighted the how do you say the stunt fight stunt work.
Oh yeah, the
And
fight.
there's a scene with a hive where you've got can't remember the English martial arts guy that's in it as well. It just I was just kind of thoroughly entertained by it. And yeah, the world building especially, I wanted to see more. I wanted to see more. And that's something I'm going to highlight. It's following this episode on the Saturday, I'm going to do a full short review for the Jamie Foxx film Day Shift. And
For those
yeah,
who are
yeah.
wondering, it's a story of a hard-working blue-collar dad just wants to provide a good life for his quick-witted 10-year-old daughter. His mundane San Fernando Valley pool cleaning job is a front for his real source of income, hunting and killing vampires.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I found myself in certain some of the action scenes like, how did the performer or the stunt man or stunt person, how did they do that? I kept saying that in terms of contorting their body and
Yeah,
it,
at the beginning, there's this fight that I'm pretty sure that's a contortionist.
Oh my God, it was just like the moves and I thought, yeah, one of my favorites, one of my favorite Netflix films, I think. Because you know the standard is very hit and miss, but
Yeah.
yeah, Day Shift. I hope you know maybe it cost too much. Maybe they didn't do the you know the best viewership. But hopefully it did, because I really want to see more. I'd love to see a
I mean,
follow up
Snoop
at some
Dogg's in
point.
it. They probably paid a lot of money to get him in there.
Yeah, paid him in something. Yeah,
Now he probably costs more than Jamie Foxx.
probably, but he probably absolutely loved his scenes were great and. There's
Oh
obviously,
yeah.
you know, practical and gunfighting and everything. So, yeah, I was kind of astounded by it, and it was how I was entertained when I watched Blade 2 in the cinema. I really enjoyed Blade 2 when it first came out, and it was the same kind of visceral nature to vampire slaying that I got from this. So yeah, I'll be doing a little review at the weekend for Day Shift and hopefully see more. Yeah. And I'm quite interested to see what the director's done before as well. So, or does after this. So yeah, great. Day Shift's
fantastic. J.J. Perry, the director?
Yeah. Do we know what he's doing?
John Wick, Chapter 2, Stunts.
Oh, right. That explains a lot.
Oh, yeah. He does a lot of stunts. Fast and Furious 9, Shadow and Bone, Stunt Coordinator. Falcon and Winter Soldier, Stunt Coordinator. Wow. Oh, sorry, Stunt Performer. Yeah, he's a big and yeah, John Wick 2.
Great.
Supervising stunt coordinator.
Sometimes you can see that when you've got a stunt coordinator or someone that specializes in that, you don't, you know, the direction's not there. But I think this was fantastic. The comedy was excellent as well. I love how kind of punchy the colors were, and from a post production point of view, it looked absolutely gorgeous. Yeah, absolutely love that.
Interesting. So Day Shift is his only directing credit on IMDb.
This has been a great episode of Slayer Talk.
Yeah, the best episode of Slayer Talk.
Yeah, I think so.
You know,
yeah.
I hope to hear from the real Alex.
Yeah.
Soon.
The one that's recovered from someone pressing their thumb against my neck. That's the pain I've been in for the last week. It's as though a ghost or someone has been pressing their thumb into the side of my neck. So this is the clone. I'm the clone, yeah.
But I'm sure this is the last time I will be talking to you, doppelganger Alex, because real Alex is going to come and kill you.
Yeah, yeah, and bury me in the garden with the other ones.
But it's been nice getting to know you.
For the short time.
For sure. Anyways, everyone, thank you so much for listening to another episode of Not Slayer Talk, but instead the Hellbound Podcast. We are on social media. Find us on Instagram at the Hellbound Podcast. We would love to feature your art, your work. So if you have cosplay, makeup, music, whatever, send us a DM and we will feature you. Please, if you can, on whatever podcasting platform you are listening to us on, if you can, give us a subscribe or a follow, and if there's a way to review us, give us 5 stars, 10 out of 10, whatever. Just we're trying to grow our podcast, trying to be able to do more for you, so any bit of help helps. So again, we are on Instagram at the Hellbound Podcast. Thank you for listening. Harness to darkness.